Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to today's Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust in Solihull, England. Today, Maurice Payne talks to us about walking in or living by the Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed to be born of the Spirit, and the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians tells us that we need to walk or live in the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there can be no real Christian life. We think you will be helped and blessed by today's message. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and Singers. We are always glad to hear from our listeners, and so do write to us if this programme is of special blessing to you. Stay tuned for today's message.
Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Galatians 5 verse 16.
The work of the Holy Spirit is described throughout the Bible. From the second verse, where we read that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, to the closing verses of the last book, Revelation, where we read, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come." The Holy Spirit appears repeatedly in all situations throughout every book. Many in the Old Testament had an experience of the Holy Spirit for a wide variety of tasks they were called upon to perform. Upon Jephthah and Gideon to fight their battles. On Samson to exercise his great strength. On Daniel to receive wisdom and understanding. And likewise skill on Bezalel to build the furnishings of the temple, and on the prophets as they spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus when he was baptized by John in Jordan. And in the New Testament, and at the beginning of what we call the Church Age, 120 waiting disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And then the writers of the letters to the churches constantly referred to the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and for the Holy Spirit to direct the life of the churches. Now this is something more than behaving or acting under the influence of Christ. There is an influence of Christ in our world. Jesus said, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And Jesus was lifted up, and that vision has never disappeared, and it's the drawing power or magnetism of Christ in our world today. The Apostle Paul spoke about the love of Christ constraining him, and that is an influence, the constraining power of the love of Christ. Both these are tremendous powers, but they're not to be confused with living in the Spirit or by the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is more than getting into the spirit of things. You know, when things get going, you say you get into the spirit of things. Some people don't get into the spirit of things till they're nearly finished. And some people get into it pretty quickly. But you know, when it says live by the Spirit, it's not just getting into the sort of spirit of things and enjoying meetings or fellowship in the Christian life. When it says live by the Spirit, it's more than moving according to signs and feelings. Though the Holy Spirit does give signs, and he gives a wonderful experience, and he gives a blessed feeling, but it's more than that. Some of us benefit from signs more than others. I think of Gideon on this point, because you may recall that Gideon had the Lord reveal himself to him, and then he said, I want you to confirm that revelation. He had a call, and then he wanted that call to be confirmed. And as I see it in the Word of God, signs play a part and a place after God has spoken to you. Life in the Spirit is not living a mystic's life, or the life of a mystic, an ascetic life, separate from everybody else. Now, I've told you what living in the Spirit or walking in the Spirit is not. Let's look at something that it is, to live by or in the Spirit. And you remember when Jesus came to the end of his earthly ministry, he told his disciples to go out and make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Listen to this verse from Matthew's Gospel.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 19.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit was shown us by Jesus. Jesus himself was an evidence of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3 and verse 34 it says, to him God gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus did not have a part of the Godhead, he was God, and had the Holy Spirit without measure given to him, as he took upon himself a human form. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit was seen descending on him in the form of a dove. Now that was only a sign. The Holy Spirit isn't a dove, but it was a sign that the Holy Spirit came upon him at his baptism. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, the Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name. And again, Jesus said to his disciples, if I depart, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And then the Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who took the place of Jesus when he completed his earthly ministry and returned to his Father in heaven. And it is the Holy Spirit who is the blessing of God in the life of the believer today. When God came down to us in the form of his Son, those 3 years were tremendous years, but they were restricted by their geographical locality. Jesus could only be found in a certain place at any one time, and those who wanted him needed to go and find where he was. They would ask, where is he ministering today? And we're not surprised that crowds went to him and followed him wherever he went and spent all day, often on the hillside, listening to that marvellous ministry. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit took over from Jesus, became a worldwide ministry. And like the ripples, when a stone is thrown into a pond, it spread to every part of the world. And over the past 2,000 years now, this ministry of the Holy Spirit through the followers of Jesus has gone further and further to the uttermost parts of the earth. God's servants have carried the gospel under the direction and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the 16th chapter of John's Gospel. He said that the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He also said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. That is his ministry. The Holy Spirit never magnifies his own name. He magnifies the Lord, and a true evidence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person is when that person magnifies the Lord Jesus. So, when the scripture tells us to walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit, it's a walk with the third person of the Godhead, and secondly, it's a real ministry and one to which the believer is commissioned by Jesus himself. And so we find here that the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of the believer when he's saved, but there must be a walking together in the path of life, the believer and the Holy Spirit. And this is where our verse today comes in. Live in the Spirit, or live by the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit being received into the day-by-day life of the believer. The disciples were told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power. Listen to this instruction from the first chapter of the book of Acts.
On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Paul said to the Ephesians when he visited them, it's in Acts chapter 19, Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He must have been referring to an experience subsequent to their believing. When they believed, they were saved, born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus. Perhaps they were not showing the signs of the true Christian life that made Paul ask this question. Every new life at birth needs to develop and grow, to feed first on milk and then to be weaned onto solid food. And so we must go before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. You saved me by your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Empower me by your Spirit. Send me forth in your Spirit. And then walking in the Spirit becomes a love relationship. That's why we are warned not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen to this verse from Ephesians.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4, verse 30.
When the Holy Spirit is leading you to go one way, and you're tugging to be free and go another, you grieve the Spirit. And the fellowship you have with him is lost. By our actions we are able to grieve the Holy Spirit and drive him away from that living relationship. That's why living in the Spirit is a continual experience. It's not visited by the Spirit or referring to the Spirit from time to time. So if you live by the Spirit, if you are working in the Spirit, you experience a new life. You see, the Apostle Paul said, Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. And if you're going to be living by the Spirit, you're going to have a changed life. Things are going to be different. Some might say, oh, you can slip into being a Christian. You can keep the things you like. In his letter to the Romans, The Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, the things I want to do, I can't do, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing." And this is the sinful nature. And we've all got a sinful nature. We've all sinned. That's why Jesus came, to save us. And it is an experiencing new loves when we have life in the Spirit, diametrically opposed to life in the flesh. That's why when a person is born again, they're changed. It's not just a change inside, somewhere, somehow, feeling better. It's a change that the Bible describes by saying, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And to prove this, the book of Ephesians has got a list immediately following this verse of the sinful desires of that flesh.
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies.
These are the natural things that we do. But when you're born of the Spirit and live in the Spirit, these stop. It's no problem because you're controlled by the Spirit. Our problem is not trying to stop. Our problem is to be walking in the Spirit. For when that happens, these stop automatically. It becomes a problem when, although born in the Spirit, you try to succeed in the flesh. Acceding to the desires of the flesh excludes you from heaven. Jesus said so. "Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God," said Paul. Now, to be living in the Spirit means controlled by the Spirit and blessed by the Spirit. It's a blessing to be under the control of the Spirit. Life in the Spirit is expressed twofold. First in worship to the Lord, and then in service for the Lord. The Holy Spirit enables the life of the believer to just bubble up in praise to the Lord and to live in a victory experience and the triumph of the gospel, whatever their outside circumstances. The Holy Spirit opens a completely new realm of worship. Worship ceases to be just coming and singing and having fellowship. Worship is a state of the heart before God. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you go about doing good and ministering to others because it's the Holy Spirit working in your life. And there is not one Christian that shouldn't be living an overcoming and victorious life, even in the midst of what seems to be defeat, because of the Holy Spirit living in you. Now, that should be a great encouragement to some of you who think you're left all alone to bear burdens that you cannot discuss with others. Life in the Spirit makes the Holy Spirit your great burden bearer, pointing you to Jesus. Now, we need to appreciate our need for the Holy Spirit. You'll never get the Holy Spirit. You'll never walk in the Holy Spirit if you don't need it. Why did you get saved? Well, you get saved when you're born of the Spirit. It's a ministry. The Lord convicts and convinces and you respond. Well now, having responded, you need to move forward and walk in the Spirit. Maybe because you saw Christ died on the cross, because you wanted to get to heaven. Many reasons why folk respond to the gospel. And the Lord hears us when we cry. Those words, "Lord, save me from all sorts of hearts and conditions," receive that glorious answer. Now, sometimes you can't be living in the Spirit because you're so dry and barren. You've had a desert experience. You were hungering and thirsting for God, and then you won't be satisfied until you find him. That's what Jacob did. He wrestled with God, and the angel said, "If the dawn's coming, let me go." But Jacob said, "No, I won't go till you bless me." The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church. And something else we should note is that the Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church, and he gives gifts to his people. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not to be confused with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit outpoured in a wonderful way on the day of Pentecost and summoned many New Testament gifts are in evidence there in the Acts of the Apostles. But in this day and age, when many are experiencing gifts of the Spirit that actually seem to take them out of this world up into heaven, don't confuse the gifts with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been working through the church age, and every age is different and every generation varies. And any gift of the Holy Spirit must take us nearer to Jesus in what we think or say or do. The Holy Spirit must set the path taken by every generation, not the changes and desires and preferences of men. Walk by the Spirit, because this is the path of blessing and peace to you, to those to whom you were sent, and to lead us all to the fulfillment of God's purpose in this church age. Life or walk in the Spirit will eradicate all that is evil in the lives of those who pursue it. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Only by walking or living in the Spirit will you know the fruit of the Spirit. This same chapter in Galatians chapter 5 tells us that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May God give us grace to be fruitful disciples.
The Bringing a Message program you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us, info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page. And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Every day when you pray, say Father."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you. Thank you.